You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
When Martin Cruz Smith first introduced his Russian detective Arkady Renko to American readers in the 1981 thriller Gorky Park, the Soviet Union was still in existence. Over the years, his books have provided glimpses into the changing political and social climate in Russia, and now, in the eighth novel in the series, Tatiana, Renko is investigating the murders of a journalist, a translator, and a crime boss in a Russia that is dramatically different from what it was 32 years ago. The book is published by Simon & Schuster, and I'm very pleased that it has brought Mr. Smith back to our show. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
When you first read about Arkady Renko, the USSR was a closed society. How had you come up with the idea of writing about a Moscow police detective? Had you spent any time in the Soviet Union?
Well, I went there in 1973 to begin with, so I could research a book about a slightly different character, an American detective who goes to Moscow and sort of shows the Russians how a real investigator works. And I was in the middle of doing that, diligently doing that, trying to follow the format, the design that Americans had always had of the American hero.
And well, but that even worked within America. We had McLeod coming from elsewhere to show New York detectives.
All the way from Canada. We sort of stuck to our what we understood, and but I was there for a few days, and it struck me that a much more obvious design.
Well, how do you research something like that? Can you get people in the various police departments to talk to you about how they go about?
No, I simply went into every doorway I could find that was open. I did something, too, that was kind of curious and medieval. I knew that a camera would draw attention. So I sketched, I drew, and I drew much of Moscow and Muscovites, and would go into a bar that had next to a military academy, and see there was a big poster, the series of posters on the wall of these different stages of intoxication, to watch for them, and they not only watched them, they followed them. I was in there, and I'd see one man sort of boisterous, one man loud, one man happy, one man sad, and one man flat on the floor, and they paid me kind of a slight attention, but they were so fixated on the vodka that I was never challenged.
So then you brought the drawings back home and you used them as references.
I used them as references for a book that was... I came back and I wrote a couple hundred pages with the publisher. And he was unhappy because he said, what is this? Who is this Renko? What happened to my American hero? That's what you sold me. I said, well, I have a much, much better idea. And he didn't think so. And so I said, well, let me buy it back from you. And he said, no, I insist on publishing it.
Without I never enthusiasm. Regretted it, I'm sure.
So every year I would write some more and write some more, and I'd ask again to have my book. And he said, no, I intend to make a point out of this. And so it became sort of a Russian standoff. And finally, he was fired, because that happens to all people, good or bad. And I approached the new publisher, and we said, "There's too much bad water under the bridge here. You've got your book back."
Ah, so you brought it to somebody else, because it became a monster bestseller, and then they made the movie.
Yeah.
Whoever published it had to be really happy.
Well, they were. It took a lot of nerve. It was still a shocker for many people, the idea of having a Russian hero.
Well, I'm sure I had no idea when you wrote Gorky Park that Renko would become somebody you'd stay with over 30 some. I guess it's longer than 30 something years, because you were working on Gorky Park for a number of years.
Well, I was sure I was never going to write another Russian book, because I'd done my Russian book. And then it struck me, wait a second, there's like somebody who learned to play the piano saying, I've played my Russian song. You know, and I also was intrigued with the idea of a Russian factory ship. I learned about them. So the idea of doing a second one that was set in such a strange, strained, eerie other world as a factory ship in the Bering Sea, that was pretty hard to resist. And I didn't.
Well, you've also written standalones that had nothing to do with Renko. Do you return to Russia to research each new book?
Absolutely.
How long do you generally...
Wait a second. Let me take it back. Because I couldn't get into Russia. In fact, the Russians published, the state published a guidebook for Russians traveling to the West or America, and enlisted the agents provocateurs to avoid. And in the middle of the list was Martin Cruz Smith. So I was hardly welcome in Russia for a few books.
So you abandoned Russia?
Well, I knew I it was clear I wasn't going to get back in for a while, and I did another book. So I've done books in Japan and Wigan, the exotic Wigan of north of England, and Stallion Gate, which is the making of the first A-bomb. So I had other tunes to play.
Well, you've written about crime, alcoholism, political corruption, other unsavory aspects of Russian life that tourists tend not to see. So I would imagine the authorities aren't all that pleased. But what about police detectives? Are any of them aware of what you do? Do any of them write to you and say, I have some suggestions?
I actually got so that I spent more and more time in Russia. And a good part of that time I spent with a Russian detective.
Mm-hmm. This is after the fall of the Soviet Union?
Yes. And so we would go out looking for trouble together. And I discovered that he, as a young man, had read Gorky Park in Samizdat, which was a form of publication, which was just somebody actually typing out a copy of the entire book and then passing it from the manuscript from hand to hand. So he had, as a young man, he defied the law on that, because you could be sent away for a couple of years for having that in your hand.
Well,
at that time.
My guest is Martin Cruz Smith, whose latest Arkady Renko novel is called Tatyana. And the title character is Tatyana Petrovna, a crusading journalist. Many people have noted that her career and death bear a striking resemblance to that of Anna Politkovskaya, who was murdered in 2006. I'm assuming she was the inspiration.
Absolutely,
for Tatyana.
Absolutely.
Did you ever meet her?
No, I never did. I spent some time with her colleagues who missed her sorely. I got a sense of who she was, because she was still a dominant spirit for the Novaya Gazeta.
And she, her murder has never been solved to anyone's real satisfaction.
Well, they foisted three supposed murderers on the general public. And one hitman, two lookouts, and all Chechens as the likely sort of at hand, you know, go to your hardware store, pick up a hammer kind of guy. But he was probably, what generally happens is there's a long trial, there's much obfuscation, there is a guilty verdict, which is rapidly challenged and believed by no one.
Well, in this case, Tatyana hasn't been shot as Anna Politkovskaya was. She's fallen or jumped from her apartment balcony. The police have ruled it a suicide. What do Renko's superiors think of his attempts to investigate the case after they've declared it closed?
He's an embarrassment. He's an embarrassment in himself, because he has not lived up to promise ever. He's been a senior investigator when he should have been a prosecutor at this point.
But his title is senior investigator for very important cases.
Yes, well, so there's a pomposity that you can find in any country.
And he listens to tapes that he finds in her apartment and comes to feel that he knows her, even though he's never met her. Is he the kind of detective who falls in love with murder victims, especially if they're beautiful young
women?
Well,
and it's a curious thing. In that I'd never really thought of it quite that way before. Your question provokes a little thought that...
But often detectives fall in love with the victims, if it's a child.
Particularly if you're a detective who understands suicide. If your parent had mm-hmm. each committed suicide, if you regularly run into it, if you've attempted it yourself, then you have crossed the line and stepped back. But you have already crossed that line. And it from then on, it marks you and defines you.
Well, Renko is defined by an awful lot of things. He's had a complicated life.
That's a graceful way of putting it.
He has lost his wife. He has taken on Zhenya, who is a recurring character in these books and an important character in resolving one of the mysteries here. He's been shot in the head.
Yes, and carries part of a bullet still in his skull.
Which can kill him at any time.
And so he's operating in his own sort of time clock.
You have recently revealed that you've been suffering from Parkinson's for the last 18 years?
Well, maybe 16. The thing is that, you know, you go back, you've got Parkinson's, you go back and say, oh, yeah, there was that time I tripped in the Red Square. That was really a bad fall. Or, you know, there's something which you are talking to somebody and you lock up.
Well, you seem to have it relatively under control. But do you feel like it's like a time bomb, like Renko's bullet?
Well, it is. You know, I've got it. I've done something to sort of fight back.
Deep brain stimulation.
Deep brain stimulation, which is placing the electrodes deep into the brain, which I never expected to. I didn't see the similarity between me and Renko. When these things became fact. Now it's all too clear to me that I'm skating on one skate.
The book opens with another murder, that of a translator in the city of Kaliningrad on the Baltic coast. Did you spend much time there?
No, but I was there. it's the kind of place that it's not rife with tourist sites, except that it's got one in particular, which is, well, first of all, what's really interesting about Kaliningrad is that it's an exclave. It's hundreds of miles away from the rest of Russia. It's pinched against the Baltic Sea by Poland and Lithuania, and so it's got it was the port of the Baltic Fleet and a closed city, which means it virtually did not exist. Also, its population had been shipped out by German population, been shipped away by Stalin and replaced by a Russian population, plus the fact that the place had been bombed flat by the British during the war. And so it was a recomposed city, and that made it the strangeness of that was very attractive.
The translator has left behind a notebook filled with cryptic symbols which no one can read, and Renko has to turn to that foster son, Zhenya, who's a chess prodigy, to break the code. Well, I've known some chess prodigies who probably were not good code breakers. The third death in your story is that of Grisha Grigorenko, a Russian mob boss who also had ties to Kaliningrad. Were you able to research the Russian underworld?
Well, it's not that hard, you know, because the underground and the above ground are pretty much very much mixed at this point.
The story involves competitive chess, bicycle racing, Chechen rap music, and some other oddities. But the real center of the book is, as he is in all of these, the series, Arkady Renko. Critics have talked about how you have created a real person here, somebody people can connect to.
Well, he's a real person. For me, he's a real person. Even to the point where when I find myself in some kind of dilemma, such as can I actually get a car, can I park a car in this space, And I'll ask myself, what would Arkady do?
Really?
Yeah, sure. He's smarter than me.
Well, I'm assuming that there's always another book in the works. Would it be Arkady, or are you going
something
to...
Something very different, as different as possible.
Martin Cruz Smith is a two-time winner of the Hammett Prize from the International Association of Crime Writers, a recipient of Britain's Golden Dagger Award. His Arkady Renko novels include Gorky Park, Polar Star, Red Square, Havana Bay, Wolves Eat Dogs, Stalin's Ghost, and Three Stations. The most recent, the one we've been discussing, is Tatiana. It is published by Simon & Schuster, and not that publisher who turned down Gorky Park many, many years ago. Thank you so much for being on our show again.
My pleasure. Thanks a lot.